It's time for another chat with Chris Higgins of Urban Ag News to talk about urban agriculture and our growing green segment. Chris, welcome to Green Sense.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, I want to have some fun today, Chris, and I want to discuss organic certification. Can you think of another rating system that's more misunderstood by the public than organic?
No, I can't.
And why do you think there's so much confusion out there?
Simply put, I think there's so much confusion because people think they're buying one thing and farmers think they're delivering another thing.
Ooh, so there's confusion on both the supply and demand side, but the government's involved. Why haven't they clarified this?
The government is allowing, I would say the government is allowing industry to lead the conversation. And so you have a combination of, let's say, farming techniques and economics.
Well, let's have some fun here, and we'll play a little game. It's rapid-fire question and answer. I'm going to throw some organic questions I've heard out there, and maybe you give us a short answer, and then let's get into a much deeper discussion on the topic. You ready for it? Unfortunately, there's no prize for this game, but I guess your reward is that you get to educate the populace.
Pass them back.
All right. Is growing organic fruits and vegetables a philosophy or a measurable, quantifiable standard?
Philosophy.
Are pesticides and chemicals used to grow organic fruits and vegetables?
Yes.
Does organic certification govern food safety?
Sometimes.
Do you need to wash organic fruits and vegetables before you eat them?
Yes.
Do organically grown fruits and vegetables have a better nutritional value than non-organic?
No.
Whoa! are you, our audience, surprised at those answers? Because I sure am. So let's get into that. First, the last question. Do organic grown fruits and vegetables have a better nutritional value than non-organic? How could you be so definitive?
There's been plenty of studies at land-grant universities which show that there is no difference. You know, a lot of the nutrient content depends on how fresh the vegetables are when they are consumed. Now, remember, with plants, it's fairly simple. There's 16 or so elements that plants need to grow. Whether it's organic or non-organic, those plants are absorbing those same elements. And I think a good argument can be made to say that a plant can't tell the difference between an organic and a non-organic nitrogen, a particle. They can't do the same thing for calcium. So the plant is looking for those elements. The form in which we deliver it is simply that. It's the way in which we deliver it to the root zone.
Well, maybe a follow-up question to this is, will you find organic grown fruits and vegetables more chemical-free so that there's not the pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides that you may find on other plants?
I think you could say that you will find organic pesticides free of certain chemistry. You know, you're probably not going to find some of the traditional synthetic chemistries on your produce, but you can find other chemistries present. The fact of the matter is that most organic product that we buy today at the grocery store is grown outside, and that product is still expected to have a certain aesthetic quality. In order to maintain that aesthetic quality, farmers use pest management tools. Now, those pest management tools have to be used to fight bugs, disease, and other pests. So that we need tools to control that, and they come in forms of pesticides. Certain pesticides are registered organic, most of the time by OMRI. Other pesticides are not.
And what does OMRI stand for?
The Organic Material Review Institute.
So you mentioned that pesticides are used in the growing of organic fruits and vegetables. So what other chemicals would be used that the public may not be aware of?
Chemicals? That's a good question. What other chemicals are they?
For example, are they banned from using motorized vehicles that spew hydrocarbons into the soil?
They are not.
So you're going to find the same kinds of residues in an organic farm that you would find in a traditional farm?
Possibly, yes.
And we talked a little bit about food safety. I'm under the impression that most people think when they're eating organic, they're eating a much higher graded safer food product. Explain, how is that regulated, and what is fact versus fiction?
Yeah. So when it comes to food safety, there's third-party auditors that audit and regulate all food production facilities, especially if we're doing fresh cut or fresh packed. So you have an audit system that you're going through. Most traditional farms use the same auditors as, especially when it comes to food safety, they use the same auditors as the organic farms. So what they're looking at is the practices in which you take to track and provide traceability and food secure or food safe supply to the customer. So that is something that both organic and non-organic farmers use. And I would say, you know, with a lot of the food safety issues that we've dealt with today, a lot of those diseases are transmitted by animal feces, and it's oftentimes less likely that you're going to have those same sorts of issues on a traditional farm compared to that of an organic farm.
My name is Robert Colangelo. I'm the host of Green Sense. My guest is Chris Higgins of Urban Ag News, and we're talking about misconceptions with organic. Well, you talked a little bit about food safety there and waste from pests being on fields. Tell us a little bit more about the fertilization process of organic versus traditional.
Yeah, traditional fertilizers are mined minerals, right? We in the industry will call those mined salts. Where organic fertilizers come from either waste that could be mostly fish, sometimes animal, or processed plant material. So, and in those, we're delivering both of them at the same desired ratios to the crop. But it's just the only difference between the fertilizers is the source in which we're deriving those fertilizers from.
Chris, bottom line, is there a cost benefit of buying organic versus traditional fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think there's a benefit for certain products. But as you know, as with anything, it's hard to summarize and say that everything we have in organic is beneficial compared to traditional. I don't think that's a claim that we would want to make.
Can you give us an example of products that are cost effective to buy that are organic?
Right now, there are products that are grown in in greenhouses, which is one of the areas that is up for a lot of debate in terms of organic versus non-organic. There are a lot of products that are grown in a greenhouse that there is a cost benefit to using if you choose organic versus non-organic. And the reason why is the greenhouse acts as a way to control pests. It's a way to eliminate the pest from being in or on your crop. So that is one area where organic farmers are making up a lot of ground, and they're able to produce their crop year round. So that is an area where there is a cost benefit.
But recently, there's been some recommendations put forth to the USDA to only allow organic certification to be done on outdoor growing in soils. So what will that do for greenhouses?
That is going to be a big hurt for the burgeoning greenhouse industry, especially those that are trying to grow organic. They've made big investments to create structures that allow them to manage the pest through exclusion. If they lose the ability to sell their product to the consumer, who right now is happy with what they're buying, if they lose that ability to sell and market their product to the consumer, that is going to put a lot of unneeded stress on their businesses.
But maybe that creates an opportunity. Maybe because the organic standard's misunderstood, it's maybe applied by both the producer and consumer, maybe there's an opportunity to create a new standard that deals with sustainability. One that looks at all the inputs, much like a LEED building does, at energy, water management, impact to the environment, you know, health of the crop to the people. And maybe the public can get a much better viewpoint of, you know, what is good farming practices and what's good produce. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that is a great point. And it's also probably a point of frustration for a lot of the farmers. And as you know, I have a tendency to focus on the farmer more than the consumer. So speaking from the farmer side, or speaking from the greenhouse grower side, it's a point of frustration, because there are a lot of people believe that that's what organic stands for, is what is the best way to deliver safe and environmentally sustainable food to the consumer. And unfortunately, what we're dealing with right now with the NOP and the USDA is that is being lost a little bit in this battle for in this economic battle for market share. But I believe that that's a conversation that the industry wants to have. I'm unsure as to what the consumer is interested in having at this point in time, because that's not my area of expertise, but I know that's a conversation the industry wants to have. And an example of where they feel there's huge benefits is in terms of water and how they effectively steward water sources in drought areas like Southern California or Arizona, areas where greenhouses work very well. And certain research has shown greenhouses to be 10 times as more efficient on their use of water than field production.
Well, Chris, in our spare time, let's work on that sustainability standard.
Sounds fun.
Well, thanks for helping to clarify a truly unclear topic. And it's always great talking to you. Time goes by too fast. So we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks and have a great fall.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's Chris Higgins of Urban Ag News with our latest Growing Green. I'm Robert Colangelo on Green Sense. Excellent, Chris.